Hey,
she said as he carefully extracted and slowly examined Smith's possessions.
The sneak. That's my towel.
In addition to the towel, the meticulous Nye listed in his notebook, one dirty pillow, souvenir of Honolulu, one pink baby blanket, one pair khaki trousers, one aluminum pan with pancake turner. Other oddments included a scrapbook thick with photographs clipped from physical culture magazines, sweaty studies of weightlifting weightlifters, and inside a shoebox, a collection of medicines, rinses and powders employed to combat trench mouth, and also a mystifying amount of aspirin. At least a dozen containers, several of them empty.
Junk, the landlady said. Nothing but trash.
True, it was valueless stuff even to a clue-hungry detective. Still, Nye was glad to have seen it. Each item. The palliatives for sore gums, the greasy Honolulu pillow, gave him a clearer impression of the owner and his lonely, mean life. The next day in Reno, preparing his official notes, Nye wrote, At 9 a.m., the reporting agent contacted Mr. Bill Driscoll, Chief Criminal Investigator, Sheriff's Office, Washoe County, Reno, Nevada. After being briefed on the circumstances of this case, Mr. Driscoll was supplied with photographs, fingerprints, and warrants for Hickok and Smith. Stops were placed in the files on both these individuals as well as the automobile. At 10:30 a.m., the reporting agent contacted Sergeant Abe Faroa, Detective Division, Police Department, Reno, Nevada. Sergeant Faroa and the reporting agent checked the police files. Neither the name of Smith or Hickok was reflected in the felon registration file. A check of the pawn shop ticket files failed to reflect any information about the missing radio. A permanent stop was placed in these files in the event the radio is pawned in Reno. The detective handling the pawn shop detail took photographs of Smith and Hickok to each of the pawn shops in town and also made a personal check of each shop for the radio. These pawn shops made an identification of Smith as being familiar, but were unable to furnish any further information. Thus, the morning. That afternoon, Nye set forth in search of Tex John Smith. But at his first stop, the post office, a clerk at the general delivery window told him he need look no farther. Not in Nevada. For the individual had left there the previous August and now lived in the vicinity of Circle City, Alaska. That, anyway, was where his mail was being forwarded. Gosh! Now there's a tall order, said the clerk in response to Nye's request for a description of the elder Smith. The guy's out of a book. He calls himself the Lone Wolf. A lot of his mail comes addressed that way. The Lone Wolf. He doesn't receive many letters, no, but bales of catalogs and advertising pamphlets. You'd be surprised the number of people send away for that stuff. Just to get some mail, must be. How old? I'd say 60. Dresses Western. Cowboy boots and a big 10-gallon hat. He told me he used to be with a rodeo. I've talked to him quite a bit. He's been in here almost every day the last few years. Once in a while, he'd disappear, stay away a month or so. Always claimed he'd been off prospecting. One day last August, a young man came here to the window. He said he was looking for his father, Tex John Smith, and did I know where he could find him? He didn't look much like his dad. The wolf is so thin-lipped and Irish, and this boy looked almost pure Indian. Hair black as boot polish, with eyes to match. But next morning in walks the wolf and confirms it. He told me his son had just got out of the army and that they were going to Alaska. He's an old Alaska hand. I think he once owned a hotel there, or some kind of hunting lodge. He said he expected to be gone about 2 years. Nope. Never seen him since. Him or his boy.